Brittle Diamonds, Chapter 36, Fighting Words, the same day. Tracy was having a slow day at Horse Heads Out and was glad. It had been 5 weeks since her uncle blurted out the truth, and sales had continued as briskly as normal. Tracy's shop had everything the local hunters needed, and they kept coming in. Maybe some of them were curious to see her again after the shocking discovery of her pregnancy, but no one had been rude to her face. The only person who hadn't come in was Florence Pendleton, who left a terse phone message repeating that she wouldn't be needing the coordinated items she'd ordered. Tracy was immensely glad not to have to deal with her anymore. And now it was May, and the hunt horses were turned out for their annual rest. The show season hadn't yet picked up, and Tracy wasn't sure how long she'd be able to keep the shop open before the baby's birth in late July. Hopefully long enough to get in some sales. She had seen the priest to say hello to at the Goldworths when she visited Catherine, but the sight of him and his wheelchair choked her up, and there was no confiding in a man with so many problems of his own. She simply smiled and exchanged light banter with him, as if all was well for both of them. It was easier that way. Her correspondence with Father Peter's sister over the last 5 weeks had been by email only. This was after Tracy had curtly told her about the disastrous results of her phone call to Frank, and in retaliation blurted out that she intended to keep one of the babies. Josie had been furious. She then quickly tried to placate Tracy, who knew Josie was scared Tracy would keep both children. After that heated debate was resolved, it was easier not to speak directly, and Josie regularly wrote emails to see how Tracy was progressing. Josie also continued to be prompt in reimbursing Tracy for costs connected with the pregnancy, although in one email she hinted that half the money would be reimbursable if Tracy really were to keep one of the babies. This had made Tracy mad, but she was forced to admit Josie had a point. Why should she pay for both babies if she were only going to get one? Yet was it really costing more to be pregnant with twins than a single fetus? Time enough to worry about all that when they were born. Even though she frequently thought about her relationship with Josie and the inevitable showdown after she'd given birth, Tracy was totally unprepared when the paying mum entered the shop of the surrogate mum. The two had only met once when Tracy was invited up to London to meet the parents. All the rest had been done without more meetings being necessary. The signing of the contract, the fertilisation. She hadn't expected to see Josie and Gerald until after the birth. In fact, she convinced herself even that wasn't needed. She didn't particularly want to see her baby handed over. It was a sight she tried to erase from her imagination, but it still visited her in her sleep, and she'd wake up sweating, relieved it was only a bad dream and her babies were still inside her. What was Josie doing here? What could she possibly want? The plump and elegant woman with hair the same colour as her own walked up to the counter behind which Tracy sat on what she now called her maternity stool. "No, don't get up, Tracy. That's okay. You get your rest. My goodness, you really are sharing now, aren't you?" Tracy wanted to say, "What did you expect? I'm carrying twins." But she forced a smile and said, "Nice to see you again, Josie. How are you doing?" Josie placed her handbag on the counter and rested one elbow next to it. "I was doing very well until I saw my brother. I never realised what an advanced cancer patient looked like. It's awful, isn't it?" "Yes, it must be quite a shock for you. It's been a while since you saw him, hasn't it?" "It has. But then a lot has happened in the last few weeks, hasn't it?" Tracy wasn't sure where Josie was going with this and said, "Well, the weather's getting better for one thing." Josie laughed and Tracy wasn't sure she was being friendly. "I really meant everything that's happened in the human department," she said. "It's been very hard watching your brother get so sick. I'm really sorry about it." "Yes, I'm sure you are. But did you know he had cancer 10 years ago and had been in remission? That is, until now. Until things triggered it off again." "No, I didn't know that." Tracy knew they were back with Uncle Frank. But what could she say? Apologise for being related to the man? She uneasily rearranged the humorous equine birthday cards in their cardboard display case on the countertop and felt her face go red. You see, things were going well for Peter. He's been a very successful man, both in the seminary and since. I don't think anyone can deny that, can they? Tracy mumbled a confused no. He's a very devoted priest, a truly holy man. These accusations of your uncle's have ruined my brother's reputation and his health. Josie's outburst roiled Tracy. It was totally unfair to make her feel responsible for Father Peter's cancer. I'm just as upset about it as you are. I think your brother is a wonderful man, and having my uncle be the one who brought this terrible thing on him is very difficult for me to bear. I wish I could change it, but I can't. Instead of being angry, Josie calmed down. Her voice was silky smooth as she said, But there is one thing you can do to make up for it. Tracy was confused. What do you mean? Well, since your uncle has been so underhanded in his treatment of my brother, you wouldn't want to be seen as deceitful in your dealings, would you?
I've never been deceitful in my dealings. What are you talking about?
Tracy had not seen the trap. Josie's voice was triumphant. You signed a contract stating that you would hand over the offspring resulting from the surrogacy. That didn't specify one baby, Tracy. That meant all the babies. If you go back on your signed and witnessed word, you'll be in breach of contract, and we'll sue you for it. Tracy clutched the edge of the counter with both hands as nausea washed over her. Josie couldn't do that to her. No wonder God hadn't let her get pregnant. She was too mean to have children. She didn't deserve any. How could the brother be so wonderful and the sister so hateful? Josie continued, I've waited too long for children of my own, Tracy. You have no right to take them away from me. Think about what I've said, and I hope to God you make the smart decision. Her lip curled. How could you possibly expect to support a child anyway? You don't have a husband or even a boyfriend, from what I've heard. Were you going to trail your baby into this shop every day? She looked around the place as if it were a London pub. What a great start for a child. Think about it, Tracy. I have a husband with a high-paying job, and we live in a beautiful house in London. We have the money and the time to raise two children. Tracy's head reeled from shock. But as Josie's threats turned into plain rudeness, the pregnant redhead began to get angry again. She noticed how the woman only talked about herself. There was no mention of love for the babies, of wanting to provide a warm and happy environment for them. Josie needed the babies to complete her image, not complete her life. How did Tracy get involved with somebody like her? She sat up and raised her chin, now gripping the counter with furious, white-knuckled hands.
What about love, Josie? You haven't even mentioned the word. I've got plenty of that to give my children. You just want those babies as accessories, that's all. I bet all your friends have had children, you're the only one who's barren.
Tracy saw Josie's eyes slit in fury as she walked back a few steps from the counter. Tracy warmed to her theme.
Yes, barren. It's true, isn't it? And you know something else? If you'd been a truly loving person, you'd never have gone for surrogacy in the first place. You knew Father Peter's religion forbids it. You knew he'd look bad with his own sister committing an horrible sin like that. You talk to me about my uncle bringing on your brother's cancer with what he's done. Well, you can't blame me for his actions.
Tracy stabbed a finger in Josie's direction.
But I blame you for what you've done to Father Peter. You've killed him, not me.
That last accusation came out unbidden. Tracy hadn't meant to stoop as low as her adversary, but there was no taking it back, and besides, it was partly true. She saw Josie recoil at those words. Her hands flew to her mouth as if she wanted to scream but couldn't. Tracy had struck a nerve, and she watched Josie struggle with the accusations. She almost felt sorry for the woman who was facing the loss of her brother, but Tracy had been pushed to the limit. No, she needn't care about Josie's feelings. Josie sank into the little painted stool. She buried her head in her hands and stayed silent for a good few minutes. Tracy, too, needed time to calm down. She fervently hoped no customers would walk in. Both women sat without speaking, and soon their heavy breathing was the only sound in the room. Josie recovered first. Her eyes met Tracy's and her voice sounded contrite.
You've given me a lot to think about.
I suppose there are two sides to this, aren't there? But I don't want to give up my chance of motherhood, Tracy. Even if I haven't mentioned the word love, I know that I have more than enough to be a good parent. I really do. I'll try to accept that the twins will be split. And as for that other thing, about my brother, she winced. I promise not to blame you for what your uncle did. I know, that was unfair of me. She got up. Take care of yourself and my and your babies. I'll be in touch. The chimes tinkled as Josie left the shop.